It's already the sixth day of our session. We're being pushed to the end now. To make an analogy with cooking dinner, you've got your vegetables on the fire. You're really cooking now. It smells delicious, doesn't it? You haven't actually tasted it yet, though, so you don't really know how it tastes. With the smell, it's looking like a feast already. But it's not cooked yet. So you definitely don't get complacent. You don't say, finally, I've got it now. You don't take the pot off the fire yet. It's easy at this time to grow careless, to turn the flame down, or to turn off the flame, or even to set the pot down on the floor. Get careless now, and what happens? Maybe the neighbor's dog knocks the pot over and gobbles up the feast. So where does that leave you? Having gotten careless and dropped it before you've even tasted the feast, you can't really get angry at yourself. Doesn't do any good to harbor regrets. You just have to pick up the radish, peel it, wash it, take the potatoes one by one, cut this, boil, turn the water, season. You might think, but I've already gotten this far. Maybe so. But what are you doing but this one thing, this one step? Peeling this one potato. You cannot deceive yourself at any point. You stay with this. Stay with this. The feast is cooking. You've got 6 days of sitting under your belt. Stay with this. You've got hungry guests to feed, but you yourself have not yet tasted the food. You have got to taste the food first. Otherwise, how can you know? You have to sample the feast before you can serve others. You have to know, this is good. Only then can you understand. Then, only then can you serve. Only then can you know just how to serve just right, to fit the feast to the guest. Your service, once you've tasted the feast for yourself, your service will arise from kindness, natural kindness. But although the feast is ready, and you don't even taste it, well, if you don't taste the feast yourself, no matter how much you talk about it to others, you won't be able to lead others to taste it either. This is the sixth day. You're down to the wire. How is it for you now? Don't look off. How does it taste? Are you feasting? Are you thinking, I don't taste anything good? Good. Now, just now, here, this place, as it is, the person who rejoices in everything is a person of joy. When we go on takuhatsu and begging, we hand papers out with these words to those from whom we receive alms. Now, just now, I am alive. That is now, just now. Life, Buddha life is nowhere else. Buddha life is now, just now. all over the world, whether it be in the mountains, by the sea, in the middle of a bustling city, no matter what the conditions one finds themselves in, it is now. Only now. There is no separation from now, no being away from now. Now is always and forever your reality. Now, 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 now. Now is life. All being is contained now. Of course, now is not graspable. Now cannot be grasped. If you've grasped it, it's gone. It may appear to you that if it can't be grasped, it isn't. Anytime, anyone, one is always the master. Anytime, anyone, don't look off, that means you, now. Now, just now, here, just here, as it arises, it is here. Is it narrow? Is it wide? All things are wrapped up in the belly of the genuine. In this place, now, just now, here, in this place, as it is, all being. You want to attach to conditions, you want to attach conditions, this, that, the other. Go ahead. Work your head if you like. No conditions adhere to the one. True all, true everything is beyond conditions. This place, as it is, if you're analyzing it, placing conditions, if you're thinking that you've found it, you've got it, in a flash, it's gone. Change is swift. Conditions have changed. That is the way it is. Impermanence is swift. Nothing abides for an instant. If it appears fixed, you are grasping. Everyone is grasping. I. We want it to be a place we like. We want things as we like them to be. We're always naming our conditions. We never take a rest from that activity. Yet all that is grabbed right out from under us. We are deceived. We deceive ourselves. It's not that we are bad. It's just that we are all running around under the impression that the false I is real. The artificial I sets up conditions for self-gratification. And we're evaluating and judging everything. This is good, that's bad. Do you want to spend your whole life doing that? Now. Just now. This place. Just like it is. The person who rejoices in everything is a joyful person. Nothing is missing, left out. All things are truth. Now, just now, this place, just like it is. It arises with relation to time, place, circumstance. However it arises, the person who rejoices in everything is a person of joy. So be of joy. You can be a joyful person. Well, if I go around grinning about everything, I'll be taken for a fool, won't I? So keep it to yourself. I'm not saying wear it on your sleeve. One with this joy, alone, all by yourself, smile and be happy. Joy, joyful mind. True understanding, this is true understanding. True joy leaves no traces, not even traces of joy. There is no grasping. Joy. Is this for real? Are there times of such joy? When I first came to this temple, it was in Showa 30, the year 30. It was March 3rd. I was 30 years old. Lots of auspicious, joyful threes. When I first came here, I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was prepared to give it my best. I asked for the cooperation of the parishioners. And they were saying, this guy came here penniless with just the shirt on his back. It's true, I didn't bring anything with me. In fact, I've hardly ever even been out shopping. It seems that in 50 years here, I haven't shopped at all, but I suppose I have. Anyway, that June, after I arrived in March, the 20-something families of the parishioners of this temple cleared the mountain behind here. They cut the trees to chop for firewood, and they were very, very thorough in their clearing. By the end of the month, this mountain was bald. They didn't leave so much as a sapling. August, September, November. When December came, it was time to prepare the decorations for New Year's. So I went to the bald mountain out back here, and looking up from below, I saw some branches from an old pine tree at the tip of the mountain. It looked good. Of course, they didn't cut the pines on the peak. No one was out there that December day. I climbed to the top and walked along the crest, and I got several branches. It was all rocks there, with almost no vegetation, no trees, many boulders. I decided to drop the branches from the cliff, as they were too big for me to carry. I remember watching them go down, the first one dropping slowly and quietly down, the next one's the same. They looked like parachutes sailing down. So I decided to take the same path down, straight down. That was not smart. I really didn't have any experience climbing in the mountains or working in the mountains. It looked easy enough, but that turned out not to be the case. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. From the top, I started to back down the almost vertical mountain, and I was planning on grabbing whatever I could and climbing down. There were some mountain azaleas there, so I let one foot down, but the azalea branch wouldn't support the weight of my body. So after I had let my foot down only once, the azalea broke loose, and before I knew it, I was hurtling down the mountain. The green and blue of the skies were opening up before me as I attempted to grasp the air. This giving your all is what I'm always wanting you to see for yourself. I was definitely falling for all I was worth, giving all my all to falling. Before I knew it, I was down some tens of meters, upside down in the air. The mountain was a series of boulders. But of course, I had no time to think about how it all looked at that instant. But as I fell, I did reflect on one thing. I thought, human beings cannot be selfish. It happened so fast, but I remember well that self-reflection. And suddenly there was a shock, an impact. My whole body was somehow made a thud. Within those seconds, life was burning to guard life. When my eyes adjusted in that split second, I saw that a branch had caught me to break the fall. A and it was the one sole branch, thin, about the thickness of my thumb. It stuck out about a meter or meter and a half from the rocks. Shaking, I grabbed it and held on to it with all my life. I had landed there on that branch just some 4 meters above the foot of the mountain. I thought I saw several young men not so far away, and I would have yelled for help, but I paused to discriminate, and I decided that it would be embarrassing to call out for help. So I'm looking down 4 meters. I said, I can do this. I'll just take it slow and easy. I took several deep breaths, and I made it down safely. From the bottom, I looked way up to see the top of the mountain, the lone pine tree there. I fell down that far. It was all boulders, rocks, no trees. That one lone branch had caught my fall. And it was the only branch. That one branch saved my life. Joy, it was pure joy. From the depths of life, joy. I just naturally raised my hands together in gassho, chanted the Jikku Kanongyo. I couldn't stay still. I raced back to the front of the temple. Hikobe-san was there. She's the old 90-year-old lady who lives out in the house in front of the temple. She's 90 now. I shouted her name. She asked me if I'd found something on the mountain. I told her I had fallen down all the way. I remember her 2 or 3-year-old daughter was at her feet. I grabbed the child and hugged her. Normally, that child would have howled in tears. But this time, she was quite happy to see me. That joyful energy must have communicated itself to her just naturally. That night, I went for a bath at Hikobe-san's house. The temple bath was broken. I found a bright purple bruise on my lower back next to the bone. This is where the branch caught me. If some other place had caught the branch, that could have been the end. I could have broken my neck or something. But I was caught in just the right place. It saved my life. For a year and a half or so after that incident, after chanting sutras, I would go there to chant to that branch. One day, about a year and a half later, I found that the branch had fallen. It had rotted and fallen naturally. I had the base cut. It was rotten too. It's in the Kanondo now with wormholes in it. What if it had rotted some earlier? Wouldn't have been there to save my life. What if Yoshida-san had seen that limb when he cleared the mountain? He would have cut it straight away. It wouldn't have been there to save my life. I would be having my 48th memorial service this year, but I wouldn't be memorialized here as I just arrived. If I had lost consciousness there, I might not have been found for quite some time. It's now, just now, right here, this place, just like this, the person who rejoices in everything is the person of joy. In everything, in all things. All of life is this one branch. All of life is this one thing. A maple branch protected me. If it had grown from the mountain a few centimeters from that place, it probably wouldn't have been there to rescue me. And it caught me just in the right place. The reality, though, is that you are protected by everything all the time. And you're not seeing it. This breath, this one breath, now, here. Seems insignificant, but what a wonder it is. This instant, now, here, you are protected. This one branch, this was right here for me. Who was it right there? Interdependent, thanks to all beings, this appears. Thanks to all beings, this appears. And everything comes to you just perfectly. Don't you want to be able to see that? If it weren't for all being, there would be no one. Humans, with our reliance on discriminating mind, regard only that which we happen to see as protecting us or not protecting us. Discriminating mind is always looking to gratify self, choosing that which would appear to benefit self, take care of self. That which we regard as getting in the way of self-gratification, we see as an opponent, an enemy, an obstacle, a disturbance. But that view, as real as it seems to you, as much as you take it for granted, that view is distorted. It is not in accord with reality. The one in the all in the one. Chitante. This one doing. This one doing is just exactly all being. This one doing. This precious, perfect one doing. All being, everything is doing this one doing. If it weren't for all being, now, here, would not be. The person who rejoices in all being, now, just now, right here, just as it is a joyful being. The all, the one. So very intimate, so close, so familiar. It is true self. You say, I, me, but there is not so much as a pinpoint of anything which is made by me. You find it hard to agree with that, don't you? It seems that you're creating yourself, that you're working on yourself. We think we're working on ourselves, but if you open up your eyes and look, you can see that there is no such sweet-looking thing as I. You aren't building an eye up at all. Some people will hear that and feel lonely, because it seems to them that if there is no I, then what is there to live for? What is the meaning of life? Look at the facts. This I, me, mine that you rely on so totally is always right there to deceive you. Don't you often find yourself doing things that you don't really want to do? Don't things come your way that you wouldn't have come? Aren't things seemingly forced upon you left and right? So is this I really in control? Is this I really existing? Is it really the meaning of your life? You will find that it wasn't so. Receiving all being receiving, all being, heaven and earth, one root, all the myriad things, one body, this one truth. This is what Shakyamuni Buddha awakened to. What Shakyamuni Buddha is guiding us to see for ourselves. Heaven and earth, I alone. Nothing is separate, distant, left out, nothing harmed, nothing damaged, nothing lost. Perfect like the vast skies. But you can receive it right here, rolling around in the palm of your hand. Now, here, you are perfectly protected. The person who rejoices in all being, now, right here, just as it is joyful being. What a pity not to rejoice. What a waste. What a pity not to rejoice and be able to say, thank you for taking care of me. How can you help but rever this one truth? Self revers self. Self is worshipping self. This one doing, self worshipping self. Please, I urge you to steadily care for, nourish now, here, now, here. Treat this with great care. With great care, become this one doing. Become this one doing. There is no separation. All is this one doing. Please. When one person attains peace of mind, that peace is felt by all beings. If you become a person who can worship everything, a person of joy, it is definitely communicated to all beings. Together, all beings one. All beings worship together. You can become such a person. You can. You have this deep, deep relation, connection with Buddha Dharma. Please carry through. Let go of body and mind. Forget about them. Throw them into the house of Buddha. When you do this, all is done by Buddha. All is done by Buddha. This is exactly this one doing, your one doing. All is done by Buddha. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.